Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire. On today's program, Cy Cook, Executive Director and COO of Texas Farm Bureau. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded July 5th, 2017 in the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, speaking today with Cy Cook, Executive Director, COO of Texas Farm Bureau. Cy, welcome to Central Texas Leadership Series. It's a real pleasure to talk with you today. And if my research is correct, you've been on the job in this position for 1 year, almost exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
Your predecessor, Vernie Glasson, stayed with you a little during this year, but you are no stranger to Texas Farm Bureau. In fact, I think you've worked how many years?
December will be 30 years for Texas Farm Bureau.
Wow. Well, let's go back to your growing up days in Yoakum, Texas. And I want to ask you a few questions. Who there sort of influenced your life greatly when it comes to the leader you would become later on?
You know, I've got to say, I had a great uncle and a grandparent that probably influenced me the most. My parents divorced when I was young. Didn't have really a father figure as a leadership model, but I was raised around some good people. I had the benefit of some very good family members that instilled not so much a sense of leadership, but a sense of just do what's right. And that's kind of what got me off on a good start.
So from your family, was
yes.
there anybody when you went to school?
Absolutely. Athletics was a big part mm-hmm. of junior high and high school. I started out college on an athletic scholarship. I decided not to go that way, but I was able to derive some leadership from athletics that was invaluable, and that probably had as big an influence on anything.
I agree with you there. The lessons of teamwork are very strong and do stay with people for all of their lives, thanks to participating at some point in sports. It's really, you don't realize it at the time, but it teaches you some leadership lessons. And many times it's the coaches who are mentors, and you don't realize it till you're further down the road.
Absolutely, and as some of those coaches have passed away, you realize the debt that you do owe those people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were coaching you and yelling at you and making you do things you didn't want to do. But if you paid attention, you learn lessons that stay with you for the rest of your life.
Well, I know the area around Yoakum because my husband and I take all of our family down to Port Aransas. And a few times leaving Victoria, we've turned the wrong way. Now we know how to get there, but a few times. And it reminds me of a very picturesque small town. Is that right?
It is. Yoakum, Shiner, Hallettsville, Cuero, they're all small towns down there. And I refer to Shiner. It's as close to Mayberry as there is left in the United States. It's ranch country. Very little farming goes on down there, mostly cows, calves, hay. Matter of fact, it's one of the largest cow-calf counties in the state, that little cluster down there. And that's what I am. I'm a farm and ranch kid. That's where I came from. And you talk about learning a lesson. When you grow up and make your living in agriculture, you do learn how to work. So the way that I made my living and the people down there also had a great deal to do with what leadership skills that I do possess.
So you started out as a rancher. With just cattle, or did
yes, ma'am. My family, my grandfather, raised cattle, and he instilled in me a love for livestock. So I've basically owned cattle for 40 some odd years. I bought my first cow when I was 11. I'm still in the ranching business. I maintain a ranching operation down in several counties where I'm from. But that's what I did. It paid for my education. I told you that my family's not wealthy, not landowners. I had to pay for my own education, and I did it with livestock and hay baling. And when you do that, you really value what you get.
Well, I'm sure that's a valuable asset to you because you can speak the language of the ranchers. Even though you're in a position now, of real authority, you can still speak the language of those who are struggling day to day to just keep their lives going.
Yes, ma'am, and I think that's important. When you talk about leadership, people will respect you if you know that of which you speak. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to these people because I've built fence. I've raised cattle. I've made my living in agriculture. I know what it's like to go dawn to dusk and then sometimes not make any money. I know what it's like to lose in a year everything that you've worked for all that year, and the different problems that are associated with it, whether it be weather, whether it be disease, whether it be intrusive government programs. I understand those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, Texas Farm Bureau is the, I looked it up, it's the voice of agriculture since 1933, which means the Depression, the largest farm and ranch organization in Texas. And that is saying a lot. You are located, as we were talking earlier, in the large building on the hill off Highway 6, even though you're facing the Fish Pond Road. And I visited that building quite a few times, and it's a real beehive of activity. There are quite a few people working in that and all the different divisions they have. Talk about your leadership and the divisions there.
Well, Texas Farm Bureau is a farm and ranch organization, first and foremost. We have 500,000 member families spread across the state. The beehive of activity there, you know, obviously is not all agriculture. Way back in the 40s, our leadership was very, they had a lot of insight. Folks out in the countries were not able to insure their property, insure their vehicles, because they lived in the country. Mm-hmm. So our leadership saw need and developed insurance companies. And those insurance companies survive to this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, they require a lot of personnel. But that's not our main focus. Our main focus is to be the voice of agriculture. One of the interesting things about Texas Farm Bureau is we're a multi-commodity organization. There is a lot of good agricultural organizations out there that specifically deal with cattle. They specifically deal with corn or wheat or rice. We cover them all. We try to represent the entire range of agriculture commodities produced in the state. And that's what makes us unique.
And you are also part of a national organization. Is it the national?
It's American Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
American Farm Bureau is, that's the 50-state organization that represents all state farm bureaus. A little less than 6 million member families nationwide.
Wow, that's a whopping number. That's a big number. Well, talk a little bit about your position as it relates to the, you're over member services, education, outreach, youth programs, young farmer, rancher program, and training. That is a lot of area.
Well, I think what you have there, Nan, is the description of my old job. Now I'm CEO, COO, which means you're basically responsible for everything. I'm the, I'm the business manager for Texas Farm Bureau. So with that, you know, it's a pretty heavy kind of a gig. Knowing when you wake up every day, you're basically responsible for it all. What's good about my job is I've got some excellent people. You know, I'm not in this by myself. I don't do this by myself. I would be a complete failure. We have some of the most excellent staff people that handle all the areas that you've talked about. So my job is to just keep the train on the track.
Well, that's, I do know, as we were talking earlier, one person who is, that I greatly admire at Texas Farm Bureau, and that is Gene Hall. He's the director of communications there, and I've known him since 1993. And he is a person I know who's genuinely interested not only in promoting Texas Farm Bureau, but he is very involved in this community and with this station, too. And he's one of the many great leaders that I know are located there. When I think about Texas, you go all the way from the Piney Woods to El Paso, and there's that just kind of boggles my mind of all the different areas and people and the numbers that you are serving. Tell us how you seem to pull all that. What is your philosophy about how to rule or not rule, but manage all that?
Texas is such a diverse state. The difference between Amarillo and McAllen is tremendous. They live in different worlds. When the guys down in McAllen are getting ready to harvest their corn. The folks up in Amarillo, it may be knee high. When the folks over in East Texas talk about a drought, they're saying, well, you know, we only got 40 inches this year. When the folks in West Texas talk about drought, they're thinking, well, we're down to 2 inches. So it's just a diverse state. What we managed to do is we have leadership in virtually every county in the state, and we listen to that leadership. We have meetings, statewide meetings, where these folks all are drawn together. They can discuss the issues and create solutions, whether it be a drought relief or something related to a disease. You know, we've got a fever tick problem in South Texas now. That problem doesn't affect the rest of the state right now, but we're listening to the folks there to figure out how to solve that problem. So bringing all of these diverse commodities and geographic regions together is where Texas Farm Bureau excels. That's why we were built, and that's what we do.
Well, that just, like, is amazing. What is the title of the person who's in each county?
We have County Farm Bureau presidents.
Oh, is that?
We have county boards in 206 counties across the state. And on those county boards, we have a president. That's one of the places that I started out. Mm-hmm. The president of this is the CEO of each county farm bureau. Now, those are volunteer leaders. They're full-time ag producers. But those are the folks out in the counties that then come to our state meetings and help us with policy and tell us, here's what's needed in our area of the state.
Well, thank you. For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Cy Cook, Executive Director, CEO, COO of Texas Farm Bureau. Every organization, it seems, has their own title, and that, to me, says just in a sentence, not nearly enough to describe all that you do. But what is it that you think about Texas agriculture has not changed since 1933?
Well, one of the things that has not changed is the need for Texas agriculture. When I decided, of course, I came from agriculture, but when I was deciding what I was going to study in college, I had a love for agriculture, but I also thought, you know, people have to eat. That's a rule that's mm-hmm. never violated. People have to eat. And as long as people have to eat, there's always going to be a need for agriculture. So that's not changed. People and an increasing number of people have to be fed every day. So agriculture remains important. That has not changed. What's changed is this. We've become much more efficient than we were. Every year sees new advances in agriculture and technology that allow us to be more and more efficient. So in today's world, less than 2% of the population is involved in production agriculture. 2% feeds
wow.
everybody else. Now, back in the 20s, 30s, 50 to 60% of the population was needed to feed the rest of us. But because we're so efficient, because we're so good at what we do, it doesn't take a whole lot of people now. And here's the change. The rest of the population no longer understands agriculture. They are two and three generations removed mm-hmm. from the farm and ranch. So they don't even understand how their food is produced. That's another function of Texas Farm Bureau. We need to be able to communicate with the consumer on the truth about agriculture. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of entities out there that would like to disparage agriculture. There's a lot of organizations that want to dictate how things are done in agriculture. And again, you know, we have an open, you know, we have an open mind and open ear, but you have to be very careful with that. It's really tough to take advice. Here's how it should be done from somebody who's never even been on a farm.
Well, we go back to that speaking the language. They're not really speaking the same language, maybe, as those who have spent a lifetime with agriculture. And I agree with you 100% that more and more each generation is further removed from exactly how things are grown, the challenges to doing the right thing. Even when it comes to pesticides, the arguments, it's not so black and white. It might be kind of gray. And that is part of the whole cycle of agriculture. What would you say, 2017, is your biggest challenge right now? as you look over all the things that are coming across your desk?
As far as in agriculture, one of the biggest challenges, you hear the catchword sustainability. So many people that use that word do not understand what true sustainability is. They think it's sustainably produced if it's produced without chemicals or it's not a genetically modified organism. Sustainability has one key element. To be sustainable, it has to be financially sustainable. That's probably the biggest challenge in agriculture right now. We don't have a whole lot of young people going into agriculture, production agriculture, because it's a very iffy business. You think about it. We've got a kid coming out of college, and he's weighing what he's going to do. Well, if he goes into production agriculture, you don't know what your work hours are going to be. You don't work 8 to 5.
Right.
You work daylight to sundown. You don't know what your income is going to be. You don't have benefits. You don't get a paid vacation. You don't get the holidays off. And again, did I go back to you don't know how much money you're going to make every year? All right, the kid weighs that against going to work for a company where you have set hours. You're probably indoors. You get benefits. You get paid vacation. You get retirement. So many young people are choosing not to go back to the farm, and that's not sustainable. So probably the biggest challenge that we have is making agriculture truly sustainable, and that means profitability. And there are so many people that have the idea that farmers and ranchers are wealthy and they've got a very easy life, and that's just not the case.
I doubt that statement is true at all. And I recently heard, of course, on KWBU that hamburger cost is at a historic low. Does that impact all those ranchers in the domination, or do they anticipate those kind of years?
Markets fluctuate continually, and I think the consumer would be shocked to know what percentage of their food dollar actually goes to the farmers that produce it. And it's just a fraction. Most of the cost of the food dollar is in packaging, marketing, transportation. And that's probably another fallacy. So many people go down to the grocery store, my wife for one, and looks at the cost of groceries. And many people think, well, these farmers are getting rich. Beef costs this, bread costs this, milk costs this. But they need to understand the farmer, the person that actually produced that commodity, gets only a fraction, mm-hmm. less than a dime on the dollar in most cases.
And also, a couple of years of catastrophic, weather events and natural events really impact them. Do you and your staff communicate, do things, programs to help the people out there who are affected by these kind of events?
Well, we don't really get into the programs. We work with our elected officials. For instance, crop insurance mm-hmm. is a big thing for us right now. The farm bill is being renegotiated. We need a farm bill in 2018. The major element of the farm bill is affordable crop insurance for these folks. We have folks every year that, okay. for whatever reason, I mean, they get a hailstorm that wipes out their crop. There has to be an insurance available that allows them to survive, because once you get your crop held out, it's over with for that crop for the year. Your income is gone. If you do not have affordable insurance, 2 years of that, most folks will be out of business. And again, that's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Well, does the Farm Bureau insurance come into the picture here?
No, ma'am. We don't do that. That's a federal program.
Oh, okay.
And, our agents, and we do get involved in crop insurance, but we don't provide the actual product. We may facilitate the transaction, mm-hmm. but the actual product is a federal product.
So you have to work on the local level, the state level, and then the national level, balancing all, it's like almost like juggling to know what's going on in each of those areas.
Absolutely, and you also need to add the international arena for
really?
That.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We just had a meeting last week, one of our statewide meetings, and we invited the Consulate General from Canada and also from Mexico to talk to our group. Trade is an important part of agriculture for Texas and for the United States. If we're not able to trade, export, and import, agriculture will not survive. So we have to talk to different countries. We are involved in trade agreements, and they're extremely important to our organization. So you got to add international to that.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. And this, the first thing I think about with Mexico is avocados, because I think they're one of the biggest producers. And here in Texas, that is an extremely popular food item. And I think even though it might be very expensive these days at the store, that is something people would miss greatly if we were not able, I don't know if we could grow enough in this country to satisfy the need.
Oh, absolutely. And past that, you think about virtually all the commodities. We all enjoy, do you enjoy your salad in February?
Oh, yeah.
Well, where do you think the tomatoes come from? Or the vegetables, when it's not the season here in the state of Texas, they've got to come from somewhere. So for us to enjoy the bounty that we have every day, we have to trade with other countries.
So you work hard, I would think, with the communications division, with Gene Hall and all his crew, to try to get this message out. How do you do that these days?
Well, we've got a variety of methods. We have print publications. We've got electronic publications. We've got the Farm Bureau Roundup, which is a news program that we have, agriculture-based.
On radio.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we do the whole Facebook, Twitter thing. We do everything we can to get Farm Bureau and agriculture's message not only to our membership, but just to the general population.
I think that that is important to be able to get the message out, but also, how do you, within your large beehive of organization, do you spend time with them so they understand the message?
Oh, absolutely. You have to take care of your own house first. And we do. We have extensive communications with our employees and with our leadership. That's the easy part. We're tied to all those folks via email, and they're within the network. But it does provide its challenges. I mean, even then, you have people in your organization that didn't get this news article, and they didn't understand this. So it's a constant. It's job security for all of us, Dan. I mean, you know, you never get it all done.
Yeah, I think that's true. If you're, especially when it comes to agriculture, you are so right, Si, that people do not fully understand the impact of agriculture in this country on everyone's personal lives. I know the big to-do about the bees that were dying and how that could impact the food source for this whole country. I think there are many other factors that are coming into play where we could be, our food source could be endangered, and that puts a big burden on your organization.
It does, and one of the things that we've got to be extremely careful, you have organizations that have ulterior motives. They will take something like the bee issue or the monarch butterfly or some other issue, and they'll twist it around to give agriculture a black eye. They'll say that, well, the use of pesticides in agriculture is the cause of this. We've got to be really, really careful to keep the facts straight. Agriculture and our organization is science-based. We're going to pay attention to what science tells us, mm-hmm. not what somebody that's two generations, three generations removed from the farm and has never been on a farm tells us. So if science tells us that something agriculture is doing is detrimental to the environment, we're going to stop it. You have to remember that these people live on the land and they consume what they produce. Why are you going to do anything that's detrimental to your health or your family's health?
Mm-hmm.
Ag producers, they're the original environmentalist. We need to remember that. And that's the message that we try to portray.
Well, I think that's an important message to be have all the information, not just one part of it, and that you tell the whole story. But when I think of that farmer, especially a young person struggling, it is good to know that there are support systems throughout the state of Texas, and then it goes on to the nation, who are there wanting to lift that person up.
Well, farmers and ranchers have a propensity to be not loners, but they're out working. You know, they're not as social as some of us. They have to spend a lot of time out on the farm or ranch. So sometimes it's hard to get those folks together and to get their voice heard. That is what Farm Bureau is about. While these folks are out there making a living, we're doing their bidding. We're their representatives. They tell us what's important to them, and then that's what Texas Farm Bureau is about. At the end of every year, we have a convention. We have an annual meeting in December where our voting delegates, our folks from the counties, our farmers and ranchers tell us, here are the things that are important to us, and they vote on our policy. Then during the course of the year, this organization works to implement that policy. We go to Washington. We go to Austin to implement what our members have told us is important to them.
I think that's great. Is the meeting here in Waco?
No, we rotated around. It used to be here in Waco on occasion. We'll go to San Antonio. We'll go to Corpus Christi, Frisco, and we move it around the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure wherever you go, that's got a big impact because just those numbers alone of all the farmers and those who are involved in agriculture is pretty staggering. I had no idea. I know Texas is a big state, but just the idea of how many people you're really reaching out to is quite substantial.
And we don't have all the farmers and ranchers in Texas as members, frankly. Mm-hmm. They belong to some other organizations, but you know, we're always looking for new members. We're always trying to grow this organization. And, you know, all the 500,000 member families, they don't all represent ag producers. They join our organization for a variety of reasons, for products and services that we offer, because they believe in what we do. You know, we haven't talked about it, but we do extensive work with the youth. We have extensive scholarship programs. We just do a lot of things.
Well, I know that. And a successful organization will be trying to lift up young people to be able to feed into that system. So that, I mean, that sounds like a great way to do it. And with outreach to communities, you are affecting not only the farmer, but his family, his children, trying to get them on the path of understanding the importance of agriculture.
Absolutely. We did a little tally. We kind of try to keep track of it every year. County Farm Bureau spent in excess of $450,000 in youth scholarships last year.
Wow.
The state organization, through membership dues, we probably contribute another $150,000 to that. Local stock shows, these kids go mm-hmm. out and they raise projects and that type of thing. County Farm Bureau's last year dedicated well over $600,000 to premiums in local stock shows. So, you know, this organization is out there in the communities. We're supporting the youth. Because if you don't support your youth, you talk about sustainable, you have to support the youth to be sustainable.
That's exactly right. And that looks like such a feel-good thing. When you see a really young person, and it's got a big cow or a pig or chicken, whatever, to have someone who thinks that's so valuable and is going to help them get their education, I think speaks so well of an organization.
Well, there is no downside to that. There really is no downside. When you help the kids, and we've got a variety of scholarship programs from speaking to the stock shows. So it is a feel-good program.
Well, I am just so glad you came into the studios today because we need to share this information about what it is that Texas Farm Bureau does, the challenges that are ahead, and some of the wonderful successes. Cy, I just really appreciate you coming into the studios. I want to wish you good luck as you serve this organization. And it sounds like you are serving them, even though you are in charge, but you're also understanding all those who are underneath you.
Nan, one of the things that when you reach a position like this, there's a lot of folks, well, how does it feel to be the boss and in charge? And here's kind of how I look at it. When you get a position like this, you're basically more of a servant than you've ever been. I mean, I'm a servant to the members. I'm a servant to the board of directors. I'm a servant to every employee of Texas Farm Bureau. So it's a humbling, humbling position. And I'm not in this position by myself. I've got a lot of good folks helping me, but it's what it's all about. It's a service position.
Well, thank you. I love the way that's put, and I really appreciate you coming in today.
I appreciate it as
well. This is the Central Texas Leadership Series. I've been talking with Cy Cook, who's the Executive Director of Texas Farm Bureau.
This interview was recorded July 5th, 2017, in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.